Hello and welcome to the XP Grind podcast from segmentnext.com. This is episode one. Today we've got a good variety of people with us. We've got Ethan from America.
Hello, give me some table, give me a table and some dice.
Great. Brilliant start. We've got Ian, Staffordshire-based games developer.
Hello there.
And we have Chris.
Guten Tag,
Chris is a
comrades.
gamer. And very unfortunately for you have me as your host. I'm Liam. That's right. Let's get straight into this. First up, shall we start with recent gaming news, guys? Ethan, do you want to start us off?
Well, I don't know if you've heard about this, but today, June the 13th, Diablo 3 Real Money Auction House has launched.
Yeah, I heard about that. Need to win.
You can make a whole $4 on it.
Well, it's
Just to
interesting that
show
players can
that
set the prices as high as they want.
Selling my gems at $1 million.
20%.
As long
Well,
as you
it's all
have the
about
money, you
Blizzard
can
getting their
win the
cut.
game.
Yeah, that's probably why Blizzard implemented it, because they take a 20% cut of it. So effectively, they see some aftermarket sales coming in still from the game.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see how long that can last, whether or not they're going to start pushing out more content just to keep the
Yeah.
players playing.
Perhaps soon it may be exploited. That's when we're going to see some real issues. We're going to see a
We've
lot
already
of
started.
games being banned. We've already
Yeah, didn't
started
they
seeing a
already
lot of
have a few
accounts being
issues
banned.
with? Didn't they already have a few issues with items being duplicated already?
Yeah, over in
Yeah.
Korea they've had to take down the entire Asian server for it, while they fixed this item duplication glitch. Duplication? Duplication. I can talk. Yeah, glitch in Korea. You can duplicate your items, but they had to take down the entirety of all the Asian servers while they've locate and fix the glitch. I think they're still down as well. We've already lost someone. Ethan's internet's kicked him out. He'll be back in a second. There's been no confirmation on when the European or Asian servers will be getting the Real Money Auction House either. We've only got them in America at the moment.
I imagine they'll probably use America as a testing ground to smooth out any bugs that might exist, and then they'll globalize
Yeah.
it.
Ian, do you want to set us up with the next piece of news?
Oh, right. Well, big news on Steam. Potato Sack is back. I think it's probably because of Humble Indie Bundle bringing back things like Super Meat Boy and Amnesia, but Potato Sack is back, and all the games are now back on offer. I'm not sure what the reduction is. I think it's 50% off all the titles. Get good games like Audio Surf if you don't have it already. Why don't you? Bit Trip Beat, Cogs, Defense Grid, all those great
Get all
games.
13 of them as package for 15 quid.
Oh,
Do
yeah,
we know if you can
$20
get the
save
extras?
about £50 on that. £40, sorry, which is good. But yeah, yeah, it's worth it definitely for Amnesia. I've actually played it and completed it.
Completed.
How many times did you scream while playing it, though?
I am not at liberty to say. There were some wardrobe changes involved
YouTube, there's got to be a reaction
during the
video
time.
somewhere.
My girlfriend at the time, I wouldn't have survived it without her kind of holding on to me as she
That's
watched
quite
me play
sweet.
it. Yeah. Definitely the sewer bit. It's worth playing it for the sewers bit. You'll shit yourself right out there.
Chris, you got anything?
We've got Pokemon Conquest coming out in the US this week. That looks
New
pretty
Pokemon
interesting.
game.
Yeah, no, not a main series game though. Sort of tactical RPG thing they've got going on.
Oh.
Scored pretty well with Famitsu in Japan. They gave it a nice, healthy 35 out of 40. No word on a US on a EU release today though, which is a shame. Even the Australians get it before us, and that's something new.
Yeah, I
So
can't
far,
wait
but
for it. I love strategy RPGs. I like
yeah.
Pokemon. It's gonna be good.
Yeah.
I've been already got this pre-order. I've been waiting since they announced it in Japan for them to
Yeah.
this game to come to America. Have I been, I've been playing Final Fantasy Tactics all week
Does
to
kind of
prepare for
break away
this.
from does kind of break away from the original model of Pokemon, but I guess due to the current reception that it's got over in Japan, it sounds like it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they've still got their core model in there. They've now got NP like trainers and Pokemon, so now I guess you've got to recruit both of them and match them up accordingly, which is a pretty cool mechanic they've got in there. I guess one thing that's important to note is that it's only a Nintendo DS game as well, so it's not DSi enhanced, which means that if it doesn't get any EU release date, people within the EU can import from America and still have the joy of playing it.
No 3DS release? It seems like they're taking a lot of titles that could also be released on the 3DS and just making them DS releases.
Yeah, Black and White, Black and White 2 even, Black 2 and White 2, Conquest.
They're really holding off from releasing a good Pokemon game on the 3DS.
I think it's because a lot of the work that Game Freak have been doing has really been focused on Black and White 2, And I guess if they've known that they're going to be doing that, then obviously they've been focusing on that more than they would on the 3DS.
Also because the handheld numbers are kind of the handheld numbers are kind of in the favor of the DS at the moment, because it's kind of one of the best selling handheld consoles really lately.
Yeah, and if we look at the like DS, like when it first came out, it took them a couple years before they made a legit Pokemon game.
Yeah.
The Diamond, all we had in that first year was that one racing game that just fell under the radar.
That one racing game.
Yeah,
that one racing game.
Yeah, some Pokemon racing game where you had to flick your Pokemon to get them to run faster or something like that.
No. But I guess the DS is still going strong then.
Yeah.
It's not a bad move business-wise. Well, it's not exactly secret that the 3DS didn't sell well at the start, and Pokemon is one of Nintendo's biggest hitters. You may as well appeal to the market where you already know you have a ridiculously strong base of console owners.
I think Nintendo's pushing the gimmick thing too far with the 3DS, because the numbers are evident, because it hasn't sold that brilliantly. But, I mean, it's getting there. It's getting there. People are buying it. And they've recently reduced the price, haven't they? So it's worth picking up just for the 3D. I've tried it myself. It starts to really confuse you after a while. It's like, shouldn't I need glasses for this?
Yeah. Especially with games like Super Mario 3D Land that just look fantastic with a 3D on.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it as well for the Street Fighter game on the 3DS.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
Shall we move away from talking about the DS and the 3DS and keep with the news?
Yeah, let's move to more hardcore markets.
Hardcore markets.
All right.
Halo, right. I'll be the resident Halo fanboy today. Microsoft the other day released a live-action TV ad during the England game for Halo 4. Shows off, well, it precedes the Halo 4 trailer released at E3, actually. We get to see the UNSC years after the events of Halo 3, and they're launching a battleship, but it's now on a peace mission or something, and then gets sucked into what appears to be some sort of wormhole and winds up on the planet with Chief. So,
of all of the planets that any wormhole could format, it forms at Chief.
Yeah, you've got to get a Warthog to Chief somehow.
Yep.
What's happened there is the universe has gone, oh my god,
no
Chief
hammer.
Doesn't have a Warthog. Best pull this ship in, it's got some on it. It's not going anywhere important anyway. And it's just dumped all these Warthogs on Chief just so we can get around the planet a little bit easier.
I saw from the Microsoft conference, I saw the Halo gameplay trailer from the conference, and it was absolutely amazing to see the Forerunner enemies, especially the one that jumped on Chief and kind of you saw its face. It was pretty gripping. It was really good, especially when you could shoot them with the battle rifle again.
I've got a little piece to say on Halo, but I'm going to save that until later in the podcast, because we're going to be doing an E3 section close towards the end anyway. But yeah, I can't wait for Halo 4. I can't wait at all. If it doesn't come out tomorrow, I might actually go and invent a time machine just to get time. Can't even remember the date now. I'm sick.
Well, the live action trailer is absolutely
great.
Speaking
of live action.
Do you think this trailer has anything to do with the series?
Yeah, it was confirmed a while ago. I hope it does have something to do with the series. I can't remember the name of it to save my life, so I'm not going to make up some name on the spot and embarrass myself. Live action series for Halo 4 coming out. It's going to detail things that are going on other than Master Chief, so that should be really, really good. Can't wait for that. But that's not coming out for months now. So I'm going to be...
Just counting down the days.
Counting down the days. Right, let's keep going with the news. Ethan, got anything else for us?
Well, Black Ops 2 was recently announced for the Wii U. Well, not kind of hinted at strongly, to put it better.
Yeah.
Which just shows how much third-party support the Wii U is actually getting beforehand and on launch.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 3.
It's an adventurous move, though, considering the core demographic of the Wii U. It's not exactly the sort of gamer that you'd associate with Call of Duty.
No, they're looking for a completely new core audience, though, aren't they? It's the exact same thing that happened when they released the Wii, when they dropped their fans for life in favour of more casual gamers. Now they're dropping the casual gamers in favour of more hardcore gamers.
Yeah.
The target audience is everywhere.
But somehow they still reel in the money.
Of course, that's their target audience, really. Your wallet.
Target audience is just
pretty smart, though. If you switch target audience every time you bring out a new console, then you know they've got money because they haven't spent all their money on your last console. Ian, got any more news for us? Keep this rolling.
I just found out that live action series, it's called Forward Unto Dawn, and it launches this autumn.
Forward Unto Dawn.
Just to let you know.
Wait.
So this fall, or Forward Unto Dawn is coming, and you get to check out that right up until the release of Halo 4, which I cannot wait for. It's going to be brilliant.
Indie game.
Indie Game of the Movie, it's out on Steam. Long-awaited documentary into video game development for indie games. Covers developers that made games like Fez, Super Meat Boy, and Braid. All the games you love that are indie titles. Especially ones available on Xbox Live as well. It covers into the lives of them, you know, what it's like to like virtually have, you know, sink all your money into this one chance of making a brilliant title. It's won several awards at areas, and I can't wait to see it.
It's only £7 on Steam, so that's what? Is it $10, Ethan?
$10, yep, $9.99. What have the reviewers been saying about this?
I don't know. But...
Well, it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's the number best reviewed movie of 2012, apparently. Which, Rotten Tomatoes, you can barely go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
got a lot of titles at the Sundance Film Festival as well.
Yeah, looks like a very interesting film, indeed. And they're definitely marketing it in the right way as well by putting it on Steam.
It's definitely going to be a wake-up call for some of the major developers, because one of the big problems that the major developers seem to be having is that they really want to tap into the indie game market, and they really want to find out why they make so much money and why what it's like for indie development on the other side. And it's going to be really interesting to see people's reaction from this.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I don't get to watch it for a couple of weeks now because I'm going to go see it at a cinema in London. It sounds really interesting. I don't actually care for game development much myself, but I really want to see this. I don't know if it's just because I've got game fever or whatever.
I think it's because it's a film and it's video game related.
So is Wreck-It Ralph. Speaking of which, I'm going to go see that.
Speaking of which, yes, Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yes. This could be the greatest thing that Disney has ever done.
Indeed. Yes.
Sorry, have none of you seen Mulan? That was the greatest non-musical. The second greatest thing.
I think Wreck-It
Maybe
Ralph.
Maybe Wreck-It Ralph will have songs too. Maybe.
For those of you who haven't seen the trailer to Wreck-It Ralph, it's essentially this old 8-bit character is a villain, like a Donkey Kong-esque villain in this arcade game. He's getting sick and tired of his job of constantly getting thrown off the ledge, being thwarted by this Mario-esque hero. So he gets tired of it and says he wants to be a hero and goes off to this Call of Duty sci-fi game and starts game hopping from game to game. And what's cool about the trailer is you see all these cameos from licensed characters that are perfectly like they should be in there. Like the trailer just blew my mind when I saw it.
If you want to go see the film trailer, you should go check it out at disney.go.com/WreckItRalph with hyphens in between it.
Yeah. And if you go on the Wreck-It Ralph website, you can actually play a beta version of the game that's going to be in the movie, which is really cool.
There's nothing that Google
nostalgia style thing. I really love playing it.
Did anyone notice some of the video game references, some of the trailers? There's Chun-Li and Zangief are walking in the background of one of the screenshots on it.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was looking through them.
And one of the games in the background of the same picture is called Pac-Man as well. So we might just see a cameo appearance of Pac-Man.
And I think I've heard someone like hyper zoomed in and actually saw Mario in there.
I swear I've seen him in the actual trailer itself.
Well, Bowser's been seen, as is Eggman from Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah.
Eggman, Zangief, Bowser, the Pac-Man ghost is definitely in there. So we know that Pac-Man's been licensed for it.
Did somebody just say Bowser was the boss in Sonic the Hedgehog?
No, Bowser is in there, and so is Eggman from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Forgive me.
And this movie's coming out in November, so you don't have to wait too long for it.
November is going to be a very expensive month for gamers. We've got Assassin's Creed 3, Halo 4, Wreck-It Ralph, and everyone's going to have to see Wreck-It Ralph twice. Of course, it's just how it works.
Twice? Only twice? Are you kidding me? Only twice?
It's only to see the Avengers, as everyone I know has seen that twice.
What?
You've not seen the Avengers.
Also, I believe there's a Dungeons & Dragons boss in there as well. You know when they in the trailer? You can't miss it. It's the scene where they're all at the Bad Guys Anonymous meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Altered Beasts, there's Lord Neff from Altered Beasts, there's the Beholder from Dungeons & Dragons, there's Kano or Kano from Mortal Kombat, and Cyril from House of the Dead, who obviously talks to Wreck-It Ralph. There's so many good video game references in there, and I'm glad to see that for once in films, video game references seem to be...
Yeah, when I first saw the trailer, I was like, oh, all cool, it's going to be Toy Story with video games.
Yeah.
But then it hit me that there were actually licensed characters.
What's absolutely brilliant about it is
made it that much better.
I think I know it sounds a little bit big-headed to think, but I think it's really going to bring people back and make people look back into these classic games. And people are going to start playing Pac-Man again, maybe. People will start going to be playing like Sonic the Hedgehog, the original Mega Drive games. Might just happen. Could be. Might not.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how many companies time their new releases around the release of Wreck-It Ralph just to compensate for that increased interest.
Essentially, it's a game made for like all a movie made for all ages. Because you have the kids who are playing all these Nintendo games, like people our age who've been grown up with all these games, and then the people, all the 40 and 50-year-old people who've seen these in arcades. So this movie was made for everybody.
Yeah. I think there's definitely going to be some good jokes in there as well in relation to some of the older video game jokes.
Yeah. Especially, you can tell that in the trailer when he's speaking Cubertese.
As is true Disney tradition, you remember the old joke that Disney films, they used to always put jokes in there for the adults and jokes for the kids.
Yeah.
Shall we keep the ball rolling then? Chris, do you have any more news for us?
What have we got to talk about? What about Battlefield 3? That's got some more new premium content going out.
Oh, God.
Some more money as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they just released the premium pack for it. So another if you already bought the $40, you already bought your $40 copy of Battlefield 3, already paid the $10 for the online pass. Another $40 to get all your DLC.
Now, naturally, seeing as there's quite a bit of opposition already in the podcast for this, I'm going to go ahead and be on the other side of this. I think it's partially a good deal. The reason being that you get all of the content packs that they're planning to release early, and you also get all of the content packs for free. So you probably might be getting a big, better deal than buying all the content packs separately. So
it's all well and good, but say, I don't own Battlefield 3, but I'm interested in buying it because I've got a lot of friends who play it. They all play on premium, so I need the premium back. So coming straight into it, I've got to spend £80, which is about $120, and I don't want to mortgage my house just to play Battlefield 3.
You see, moving to that side of the argument where we're against it now, if we look at, say, a game like Oblivion, back in the day that released all of its DLC content, in pieces as they developed it. And the same with Fallout 3. And they're doing the same with Skyrim now because Dawnguard is coming. But we can get to that in a bit. But if you release all your DLC content at once, like the way they're doing it with Premium, you know, when is it too much? You know, you can buy all this content, but are you really going to be playing Battlefield 3 for that long and staying interested for the years? I'd prefer to just stick with my original base game and just play it when I want it.
Exactly. Yeah. Didn't you say you did something like that with Modern Warfare 2, Liam?
Yeah, I picked up Modern Warfare 2 just when it came out, because at the time I wanted to play an FPS. So I picked up Modern Warfare 2. And then the map packs came out just as I picked it up, and I was like, ooh, I'm really on an FPS high right now. I'm probably going to be playing it for at least a month or two. I'll drop the extra £10-12 on these map packs. So overall, I spent about £65 on my Modern Warfare 2 copy. According to Steam, I've played 2 hours of it.
I think as well as the premium stuff, they were offering like premium events on a calendar for people to join in that other people cannot, which didn't make sense for me, because seeing as some people were loyal enough to buy Battlefield 3 and still, you know, play it on Origin, we were fine that they took it off Steam. Like there was anger, there was bloodshed, there was screaming, but people still bought Battlefield 3 and played it and enjoyed it. And Battlelog was a mild success, and it was brilliant. But then they reward them by going down the Call of Duty way of things and offering an elite-style premium mode. It doesn't sit right with me that why isn't these premium events on a calendar? Why weren't they there from the base game, especially when you're paying, what, £40 for a PC game nowadays? When it came out, it was about £40 or £50. And then... other games at the time, FPSs, were coming out at like £30, maybe £25 at a good push. So
yeah, and Battlefield 3 is still £40.
Where's the return in that?
You've really got to question whether or not it's the right business decision as well. I mean, if they want to try and attract new players with this new content, then those new players are really going to have to shell out a significant amount of money just to be competitive. I mean, it's going to be stemming from the whole paying to win ideal. I mean, if you really think that new players can just buy the base game and compete with premium content, that seems a bit naive, to be honest.
Yeah, the pay to unlock all the classes bundle that you can buy, which just instantly unlocks everything.
Yeah. Which that's $30.
That's absolutely uncalled for. It completely undermines the underpinning of the game, the actual mechanic of the game, which was the progression through all of the levels and ranking up. If you buy that, you're going to buy it, enjoy specking up all of your weapons for the first couple of days, and then you're literally going to just hone noobs for a couple of days, and then just stop because you'll get bored because you're not progressing anywhere.
Yeah. In fact, unless you buy that too, it makes all the vehicles in the game pretty much useless, because if you're going to jet without getting the vehicle pack, which is $10, so 800 Microsoft points. And if you get in the jet, all you have is a machine gun, which unless you're the best flyer in the world, you can't take anything out.
And you can the only do way the dive bomb technique.
Just crashing into everything. That works, but and your helicopter I don't believe has any kind of rockets or anything. So it's pretty much just a transport vehicle.
That's a really stark disparity then between premium and standard content.
Yeah.
I really
you're basically hurting your team by getting into a vehicle when you don't have the basic necessities a vehicle should have.
That's an interesting word to use as well, the necessities.
Yeah.
Like premium becoming a necessity to play.
The major thing that seems to be a
this
problem
isn't even
lately...
premium, this is basic like grind stuff too. Because this the vehicle pack you were just talking about, like the unlock everything pack. Like this is part of the vehicle unlock pack.
What seems to be a big problem lately is that yes, we're all complaining about features like this, but people are still buying it, and some people are even buying it after they've been complaining about it. Remember everyone the infamous Modern Warfare 2 boycott on Steam, where everyone afterwards somebody posted a screenshot that all of the boycott members were playing Modern Warfare 2. Now, if you really, really want to stick with it, like if you really, really are against some of the features in a game, then don't buy it, because then if you buy it, you're supporting it, and people will still develop games in this way.
Yeah.
You have
let
to
your money do the talking.
Yeah. So if you don't like it, don't buy Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
Okay then.
I feel like we went off on a tangent there.
Yeah, just a little bit of fun. It's fine.
Shall
we move away from the news for a little bit?
Sure.
There's other things that have happened. There's been some new releases this week. What have we seen released?
About Lollipop Chainsaw.
Lollipop Chainsaw, that's coming out this week, isn't it?
Yep.
Seeing reviews come out for that. Has it caused some controversy in America?
Yeah, controversy.
Apparently the main protagonist is only 17.
17 when she starts the game, yeah.
Yeah, which is considered of minor age here in America.
Yeah, so you've got sexualization of a minor, which is obviously risque over there.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a Japanese developed game, so it's more of a normalized theme somewhat, and their age of consent is lower, I believe. But no, I mean, there have been similar games with that sort of overt sexual content. That have been released in the past. I mean, I know Catherine was released in the US.
Yeah.
And there was some controversy over it, but it was never pulled, and it did quite well.
Yeah. I watched a gameplay a video of Catherine, and it just looks pretty crazy.
It's very crazy. It's definitely
especially with the
plays with
especially with
violence.
One of the mechanics of I think it was the platforming mechanic where you had to climb up. It looked like a really big hard challenge. Sorry.
Well, stuff like that. I don't like defending it because, you know, in some cases it's wrong, but, well, people are complaining because pixels are too young. Okay, it's wrong because you don't want people actually sexualizing minors and gateway drugs or... Gateway drugs? Gateway to it. It's gateway drugs now.
Apparently,
it's still... They never make a big thing about her being 17. It's just she has to be 17 for the plot in the game, doesn't she? Because... zombie outbreak on her 18th birthday. So for that short tutorial bit, they haven't bothered to change the game model because it's not occurred to them, and people are getting angry over that. It's like, well, it's data. There's many, many other things to get angry about. If people are going out of their way to sexualize it even more, get angry at them then. but it's picking at something that isn't there, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, there's much worse things out there that they could be attacking.
Yeah, I mean, they're only pixels at the end of the day. As long as it stays pixels, then no one's getting hurt.
There's not been a lot of other releases this week, has there? There's been...
Pretty much already.
Yeah, in the game, the movie, Pokemon the Conquest. Potato Sakurai release, and Pokemon Conquest, and we've already talked about those.
Oh, just as a tip-off to Lollipop Chainsaw, a friend of mine has just recently got it through some means and has played it already. And apparently it's very funny. Really, really funny game.
I've heard a lot of that from other reviewers. It's supposed to be good Suda 51 style of comedy.
And it's the same producer as No More Heroes, so that's to be expected.
I've asked if he's encountered any problems at the moment, and he's pretty much a hardcore console gamer, so he knows about his control sets and things like that. And he says he's not really had any problems with it. So it looks like a really good brawler with some tight controls, so I can't wait to check it out.
Well, our new releases segment has already run out of topics. Nothing's coming out.
The reason
there
haven't. Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah.
I was about to say, the reason we haven't had anything.
Yeah. To make up for it, shall we talk about E3?
Let's talk about E3.
E3. Okay.
That little convention that happened.
Yeah, it's not important, but we may as well
talk
about it.
Why is Microsoft still pushing Kinect so much in it?
Why is Sony still trying to push the PlayStation Move?
Why is Ubisoft
mean the
still
Wiimote
winning?
2.0?
Why?
I think we all know the winner of E3 was definitely Ubisoft with their impressive.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, did anyone check out Watchdog?
Right, we'll get to Watchdogs last. I need to fanboy very, very hard over that, and I need time to build up my fanboy levels.
I love
I've never been so excited
the
for
packed,
a game.
So.
Should we separate this in the hits and misses of E3?
Let's start with the hits and misses. Hit, Watchdogs. Miss,
Usher.
Go on, Ethan. Usher.
Flow Rider.
Flow Rider wasn't a miss. Flow Rider was great.
Nah, he was a miss.
Flow Rider
Flow Rider's always a miss.
He had no reason to be there.
You're wrong. He was Flow Rider. He had every reason to be there.
Flow Rider is everywhere.
A real miss for me, Aisha Taylor. She's the woman who hosted Ubisoft's conference.
Oh.
She got a lot of backlash for hosting the conference because she kept making like little gaming references and trying to pretend she was a gamer. And she was very unhappy with that. And she posted on her Facebook page today, I actually have the tab open, a little thing called Dear Gamers. Now, if anyone follows E3 quite well, they'll remember the Jamie Kennedy fiasco in 2007.
Oh, is this the woman on Kotaku that posted up the article?
No, Jamie Kennedy he's an actor, and EA got them to present his conference in 2007, and all he did was take the piss out of nerds. Like, right. Okay, it's funny sometimes, but he was just ragging on people in the audience.
I think.
And then when
I
he got she's... backlash for it on Twitter, he started ragging on people on Twitter. And then Michael Pachter, and at the time the person, one of the major editors for Game Informer and PC Gamer, were chatting about it, and they mentioned him, and he weighed in on the conversation by saying, "You're not in the business, nerds." So, okay, Michael Pachter is one of the most respected game analysts out there. So I don't respect his opinion, but he is one of the most respected. The editor of Game Informer, Kotaku, wrote an article on him, and his response was, "At least someone's writing an article about me, even if it is on some shitty little blog." Kotaku.
No such thing as bad press.
But yeah, it happened again this year. Aisha Taylor. The gamers felt offended by her because she's an outsider, and the hardcore audience are very protective.
Same reason I can't watch any quote-unquote professional gaming interview like IGN or something like that does.
So she posted on her Facebook, "Dear gamers, I've played since I was a little kid, since I begged my dad to buy me Nintendo LCD, Donkey Kong Jr., so on and so forth. It's paragraphs of it, it's just, I am a gamer, and that makes me important. And I don't do it for the money, I do it because I'm a gamer." It's like, I'm not buying it.
Especially looking at her profile picture right there.
And she's getting
her holding
loads
a beer in her
backlash
hand.
For trying even harder. She might be a gamer. I don't care. She doesn't need to make a big thing about it.
I think one of the major reasons she's got so much of a backlash, probably one of the major reasons, is because she's a woman. Now, we can dance around this topic all the time, but it's pretty evident that there is quite a bit of sexism in gaming. You know, you can see it on consoles. As soon as someone on Xbox Live opens up their mic and just is a female voice, you know what's going to happen. And it happens as well a lot with this online, with stuff surrounding E3 and gaming news. You know, as soon as something controversial comes up, there's going to be a huge backlash of it, whether it's a guy or a girl. But if it's a girl, they seem to get a massive backlash because of it. If it's a woman, sorry, they seem to get a massive backlash because of it. And there's a lot of offensive
stuff.
Very
protective for some reason.
Yeah, overly protective.
A hit, a video game. Someone shout out a good video game from E3 that wasn't Watch Dogs.
Paper Mario. Pretty much every game they announced, well, all the first-party games they announced at the 3DS the 3DS-only press conference was fantastic. Paper Mario, Luigi's Mansion, Super Mario Bros. 2. I'm really glad they're revisiting that. But the new Paper Mario, I'm so glad they're getting back to that old turn-based system rather than the disappointment that was Super Paper Mario. Because yeah. I just absolutely hated that game.
Ian, any favourites from E3?
Oh, favourites from E3. You know, I'm going to have to go with Halo. I know we've already had a big, big, big shout out about Halo, but unfortunately I've been a massive sinner and I've only seen the Microsoft conference at the moment. But the idea of Watch Dogs seems really, really good. But it's not got me sold yet because it seemed like in the gameplay trailer there was a lot of walking involved. But it was good. It was really, really good. And I really love what Ubisoft, what they did with the environment for it.
Yeah, I can't wait for Watch Dogs. It looks great. It's low cyberpunk. You can do things however you want. The big thing that got me for Watch Dogs was something that was revealed in the interviews after after Ubisoft's conference. For anyone who's watched the Watch Dogs trailer, the end of it, the camera pans out and focuses on another character, and then, you know, the camera follows them around, and everyone thought who watched just that trailer that's just how the game works. You move to another character then. Turns out that was just another person playing.
So there's some co-op gameplay there.
No. Ooh. It's not co-op gameplay. It's a new way of approaching multiplayer. They've not announced any details for it, apart from just these scant things we got out of the interview. Basically, the other person was in the world, but they were doing their own thing completely.
Right.
They just happened to cross paths. So they want to approach multiplayer in a different way. That's really good. It looks like MMO Lite. You know, you're just running around an open world, kind of GTA-style thing, doing missions. And then you occasionally cross paths with other players. I don't know if they're going to do it journey style. You know, you'll just run into other people who happen to be playing online or and are close to you on their map as you are to them.
Definitely a miss was Journey this year.
Really?
Yeah, Fable the Journey looks completely...
You're talking about Fable the Journey. I'm talking about Journey.
You're talking about the PS3 Journey,
Yes.
PS3 the Journey is brilliant.
Thank God, I thought I'd have to kick you out of the podcast.
Oh, God.
Phew.
Yeah. Forgive me for zoning out there and almost completely missing flying off the handle there.
Anyhow,
continue, sorry.
Chris, you had a favourite from E3 because I'll waffle on about Watch Dogs for a good hour.
Well, I've seen a couple of interesting things at E3. I mean, perhaps one for the PC gamers. Dust 514, the FPS that links to EVE Online.
Oh, yeah.
That looks very interesting.
Oh, was that? They announced that a year ago. Are they finally doing something with that?
Yeah.
Finally. Oof. They're brilliantly doing something with it.
I've paid no attention. I haven't looked at my EVE Online account.
I saw a gameplay video, a hand camera footage of one of the expos before E3. It was from a while ago. And they were showing off the gameplay where maybe it was a commander on a team. I'm not sure how the team works out, but called in a strike, and it was showing gameplay in EVE, where the location came up on the minimap on the overview, and the EVE player was able to click it and launch an orbital bombardment to help support the characters in Dust, which was pretty marvelous to see. It was just brilliant to see an MMO. And an FPS cooperatively working together with full mechanics and working perfectly. It was quite brilliant to see that working.
I can imagine having full, like running a team game on Dust, both sides having a full corp with them. full corp. Both corps in orbit, like bombarding the shit out of each other and trying to take control of the planet. That'd be great.
Yeah.
You've got to coordinate a ground defense and a space offense all at once.
Yeah.
What's interesting about Dust, though, is that apparently it's going to be PS3 exclusive, which is a very interesting choice on their part.
Yeah, it's going to be
not release it on the PC at all.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be PC. It's just going to be PS3 only.
No, the idea
not releasing on the PC at all seems like a weird business decision.
So it's going to be a PS3 only game, but still can connect to the PC world of Eve.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm still amazed by this whole cross-platform idea, and I can't wait to see it like incorporated with other kinds of games, like maybe a casual cell phone game. Like someone will play a puzzle game to help you build resources for, like, let's say, an RPG or something like that.
Well, cross-platform seems to be becoming quite a thing. We've seen how the Wii U works now.
Yeah.
You can have one person playing a completely different game on the gamepad with the screen in, while people play, like, Rayman Legends. I'm seeing all sorts of things happening with that myself. You've got the 1 to 4 people playing as Rayman and fellows on the main screen playing as a side-scroller. You've got the person on the gamepad using the touchscreen on it to clear obstacles and things. So you've got two people approaching the game in completely different ways, completely different control schemes. I can only imagine what time attack modes would be like on that. You've got to get two people like, who've got to get everything down.
Nuts.
Yeah. Oh, I can't
speaking
wait.
Speaking of the Wii U controller, I was really impressed with what they showed with the Nintendo Land. Did you see the Luigi's Mansion demo?
Yeah.
Where they had four players all trying to find the fifth player, which had his own special view of the map that the four other players could not see.
Yeah, one person on the gamepad with the map on their screen and the other four people on the TV, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the four people are trying to look for the ghost, essentially, while the ghost player can see himself and everything else.
Have you checked out, though, the pricing controversy that has happened with the Wii U?
Yeah, there was a price leak the other day, wasn't there?
Yeah, apparently the controller, I think from a friend of mine, said that the controller was actually going to be priced separately, I believe, to the console. Mm-hmm. Or at least the console bundle altogether would retail for, I think it was £200 to £280.
It's $280, the price leak the other day, and that came with one gamepad.
Yes.
Right.
It looks expensive now, but when you think about all the peripherals we bought for Nintendo Wiis, you know, the balance board, various Wiimotes, nunchucks.
If you definitely look at the base price for other consoles, it is pretty competitive, which is good.
Yeah.
Because if you look at an Xbox 360, 250 gig, that's still $300+.
I mean, if you look at the original 360 release, you remember when the original premium, I think it was 20 gigabyte 360 was, I think, £279.99, £280. Yeah. You know, we're looking at a good price here. But for, I think the price for extra Wii U actual game pads, I think the price was supposed to be pretty high for them. Unfortunately, I have them not got them at the moment, so I could be spinning the rumor mill here.
From what they've shown with games, though, it looks like you're only going to be needing one game pad per Wii U.
True.
You can use two, but it's going to be very rare that you'll need two. They haven't showcased anything that uses two yet.
Nothing.
Now, the Pro Controller, on the other hand...
The Xbox 360 controller in disguise.
Apparently, they're the
stupid
battery
thumbsticks.
Apparently I'm just glad they have an actual controller for once.
Ian, batteries.
Yes, apparently the battery for the Wii U controller, sorry to interrupt, is put at 3 to 5 hours on a good charge.
That's a bit lame.
That's quite low, yeah.
Especially if you're looking to take the gameplay away from the screen, like it advertised. And you know, take it around the house because it's supposed to be wireless. So you know, you can take all the kids. You know when you used to take a Game Boy to bed with you and play Pokemon until all the early hours of the morning.
Yeah.
You know that's going to go in a couple of hours. So if you've been playing already and you haven't been charging it and you take it away, you know we could be looking at a more realistic, you know, maybe like say 2 hours, maybe 1.5. So it's pretty disappointing to hear. It's got such a low charge, but is that really true with, you know, camera, touchpad, motion functionality?
Streaming.
Yes, HD streaming as well.
Yeah, it's doing a lot of things. You can only do so much on a battery.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, they could have invested further into it, I think. Because,
I
mean, if we look at smartphones,
would not be surprised.
Smartphones can do a lot of this nowadays at a budget battery size. I mean, my phone can last a good couple of days, and mine has 720p camera. It has, you know... it has touch screen, obviously, because it's a smartphone. So, I mean, it was a shame to see that Nintendo didn't really invest further in the battery for the Wii U controller.
I would not be surprised if, you know, they're rushing some of the design features in order to get the Wii U out this year, and then in 2 years they announce Wii U Plus controller.
Well, I think,
you know, extended battery life and all that crap.
You know, we might see complaints after release, though, soon. We might see complaints, you know, because obviously these batteries, they're not going to stay at 3 to 5 hours forever. They're going to start to deteriorate. So, I mean, you know, you could be looking at, if it was 5 hours at release, you know, you could be looking at max maybe half of that, you know, 2.5 hours, you know, a year later after, you know, a lot of use. So, you know, people could react badly to that. We never know. We will see at release.
Yeah, a lot of eggs in one basket, isn't it really?
Right. Also in news, if I may, kind of not E3 related, but did anyone hear about the 10-year-old Civilization 2 game?
Yes. Oh,
oh yeah,
I got to write about this yesterday. The guy who kept the Civ 2 game going for a decade, still going as well.
Oh,
give me a second, I'll get my article up.
Yeah, did anyone actually check out on Reddit? There was actually a big response from people.
I saw the initial thread, but I avoided it after that. I don't like Reddit too much.
Front page of the internet.
Yeah, apparently the guy got to the year 3991.
He's still going.
Leaving with him. Yeah, there was only three civilizations left by the end, the Celts, the Vikings, and the Americans.
But they're all big, massive superpowers.
Yeah.
And everyone's going staticky again.
Nuclear.
Wondering if it's my internet connection.
I can hear you all right, but a couple of people are going a bit static.
I've got the post here. The world is a hellish nightmare of suffering and devastation. The ice caps have melted over 20 times, somehow, due primarily to many nuclear wars. And so on and so forth in such a dark, gritty voice. They've got three superpowers trying to... They can't keep peace for more than one turn.
Yeah, it seems that all of the borders as well, there's a giant split border system where whenever there always seems to be constant fighting at the borders. Pretty interesting. And the ice caps, funnily enough, have melted 10 times already.
20.
20. Oh, even more than that.
So there's nothing left but scant farm, scant swampland and the remnants of mountains. Just everything's flooded. I'm just really impressed he kept it going for that long. Eventually, you'd expect something to overwhelm you.
Yeah.
I'm assuming years of AI manipulation have had to go into it.
It's one of them things with well-made games that, you know, this is why Civilization is now at iteration 5 and still being played for hours and hours and hours. It's one of them good games that lasts for ages. Mm-hmm. And because the AI is solid and well thought out, you know, it presents so much of a challenge that for it to be going for 10 years and no one to be letting in, it must be pretty impressive. I heard one person suggested a pretty brutal strategy of how to take over the globe. I think he recommends switching to fundamentalism to make the people more appeasing to the leader, and then rapidly start nuking the borders and sending tanks through.
We appear to have moved away from E3 a bit here.
Yeah. Has anyone got anything? Are we bringing back the Watch Dogs?
I've fanboyed over Watch Dogs. If you let me talk about it at all, I won't stop.
It'll
if anyone else
forever.
Talks about it, I'm going to interrupt them and I won't stop.
It
check
does look
out
like
the Watch Dogs trailers.
Yes, watch the trailers.
Yeah, we'll have to have a whole episode about Watch Dogs.
We'll have a whole episode about Watch Dogs. That could be episode 2.
If you love hacking mobile phones and watching people smack their phones as if they're not working, then you should check out the trailer. It's brilliant.
Okay, I assume we're not going to be able to get back into E3 too easily, so shall we move on to our last segment? What have we been playing?
Diablo 3.
A lot of Diablo 3 I've seen on your Steam.
A lot of Diablo 3, yeah. I mean, it has its replay value with all the difficulties, so I'm just slowly getting close to Inferno now.
I'm still in Nightmare. I got to Nightmare a couple of days after release and haven't touched it since. I've been too busy working.
I'm still trying to get past the whole server thing.
Yeah, is that still going since release?
Yeah, well, I haven't tried it in a few weeks.
This is one of the big problems with online-only activation for games.
Yeah.
Where you have to maintain an online connection.
I still feel like they've been having a lot of problems with, like, item doubling and stuff like that that would have been avoided if they had an offline mode and an online mode.
Yeah. Presenting people with the options has been met with a lot of good response. from communities, but restricting those options seems to have been met with so much feedback.
Yeah, just people looking for ways to get around it.
Yeah. I mean, same could be said with the Ubisoft DRM. I think it was on Assassin's Creed 2 or something where they put online only, where you had to maintain an internet connection, and people just hacked that in days because everyone was just absolutely outspoken against it.
Yeah, I shouldn't feel like I have to pirate a game I already bought just so I can play it, right?
Yeah, that's one of the bigger linchpins of it. Why are we buying games if I have to hack it?
And especially, it's a real problem if the pirated experience is better than that of a legitimate gameplay experience.
It's that classic webcomic where the pirates, consumers, and the publishers, and it's just an image of the publishers kicking the consumers and the pirates just sitting there watching him laughing, because DRM only really hurts the consumer.
Yeah, it that's the one people wrong. They that's the one group of people they should not be punishing.
If it's done wrong, like.
Well, think about the number of indie games that are released with no DRM at all because they can't afford DRM, and then are wildly popular. It's not just because people want to support indie developers. Yeah. It's because a developer has turned around and said, "I don't want to screw you in the ass here," and more people are behind them because of it.
Yeah. And 2 years later, with all these Humble Bundles, they're still making money.
Yeah, the Humble Bundle 5, they're nearly $5 million now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sure, part of that goes to charity, but part of that also goes to the developers.
I know I've bought 5 Humble Bundles for this competition we're going to talk about after this little segment, and I've given all the money to the developers.
Yeah.
I tend to usually give half-half, because, they're on the table. They're all in it, so I feel like everyone should get an equal amount. I've still yet to buy it. How long is left on the Humble Indie Bundle?
One day.
I think it's got like
One day recording. This is going up on Friday. The Humble Bundle won't be available anymore.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so if you're hearing this now, it's too late. It's over. We've just hyped the Humble Indie Bundle
There's only five left.
You just cannot get it.
It's too late for the Humble Bundle, but you could always get the potato sack on Steam.
You could always enter the XP grind competition.
If you're wondering what's in this current Humble Bundle, we got Amnesia, Bastion.
We'll get to it in a minute. Right, let's continue with the segment. Ian, what have you been playing this week?
What have I been playing? Wow. Well, I've just recently finished quite a bit of considerable work and getting back from Download Festival. So
Everyone going to Download Festival? You're all weird.
Oh, yeah. But anyhow, I've been playing since I got back. I have played a little bit of a really old RTS called Dominant Species, which we won't talk about. I've been playing Battlefield 3. I've just recently got back into it, and I suck at it. And I'm
so
still
do
ranked,
I. Yeah.
I'm rank 18 at the moment, and I'm specking up, and I'm trying to get to the L86, which is a British assault rifle. I'm trying to do the challenges for back to car camp. So yeah, I've been really enjoying getting back into that and getting back into FPS gaming. But one thing I've definitely been playing for so much lately, and I've been constantly gripped to it, is Skyrim, of course. Everybody loves Skyrim. And I've been recently doing the Dark Brotherhood quest. If you have not started the Dark Brotherhood on Skyrim yet and have put Skyrim down, what are you doing? Pick it back up.
I have actually not done that.
The Dark Brotherhood. The Dark Brotherhood quest is gripping. It's absolutely gripping, and it's really fun. I can't wait to finish it, mind. Once you start playing the first quest and you find out the core story of the Dark Brotherhood, it's going to be brilliant.
I'll have to go back.
Quality just went from terrible to great. this is going great for a first podcast. The quality's all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dark Brotherhood was the first guild thing I did in Skyrim. And then did Thieves, then. What did I do after that? I think I'm doing the Mages Guild, and then I sort of stopped playing.
Yeah, I've done the Mages Guild, and then did the main quest. And then have worked on the Dark Brotherhood. One thing I've also done in Skyrim lately is I have got all of the Dragon Priest masks. Kind of a bit of an anticlimactic finish, because all you get is pretty much, well, in fact, I won't spoil it to you, but it's pretty anticlimactic, but the final reward that you get for collecting all the Dragon Priest masks is pretty useful. It's a pretty useful mask to wear, and I won't spoil the details of it, so I'll let you find all the Dragon Priest masks for yourself. But one thing as well, in closing, I've been playing more of Limbo. I've been meaning to finish it and enjoy it. And I, obviously, because I've been working, I haven't had a lot of time. But Limbo is absolutely amazing. I really love it. If you love one of those games that teaches you how to play without even barely giving you a tutorial in it, then you will enjoy Limbo, especially the dark art style behind it. It's one of them puzzling games you'll really enjoy.
Well, we're going to be giving away 5 copies of Limbo soon. I was going to ask Ethan what he's been playing, but he's like vanished from the call again.
Well, Limbo's in the competition we are offering.
You're back?
Okay. Ethan, what have you been playing?
Well, played some Super Mario 3D Land before this, then got to play some Kid Icarus Uprising. Other than that, playing some Battlefield.
You'll have to get me on Battlelog.
I play it on Xbox 360.
You play it on 360? Oh, you're missing out on the Battlelog integration there.
I might be tempted to pick up Battlefield in the near future, maybe if they do a deal thing for premium.
Yeah, I imagine they'll have to.
Yeah.
So that's about it then. I guess that's what we've all been playing.
Been playing things. I've been playing a lot of Endless Space.
Endless Space?
Does the space really end?
No. The space is incredibly limited in Endless Space. I was very disappointed. I felt very misled. It's Endless Space. It's a 4X game. You can pick it up on Steam now if you're a PC gamer. I love 4X games. I absolutely love them to bits. And this, like, piqued my interest. It's not out yet. But if you buy it, if you pre-order it, you get access to the beta. It's kind of... It's a little bit all over the place. It does its own thing really well. The galaxies aren't big enough, in my opinion. You're looking at 30 to 40 systems you can populate in a galaxy, and the galaxy itself is really small, so space feels really limited. The game's all about doing science. You have to research things to get anywhere. You can't do anything if you haven't researched it first. But you can trade research with the other empires for research or for peace treaties or for resources or whatever. Spend a lot of time trading. It's a bit dull when you're playing with AIs. It feels like it needs other people there to liven it up. It's the battle. If you pick it up, I highly recommend it. If you do pick it up, please add me on Steam so I've got other people to play against. I'm sick of playing against the AI. I've sunk a lot of time into it this past week just because I've been trying to find something really enjoyable about it. The more time I've spent on it, the more things I've found out I can do. I can leave AIs to manage my systems if I'm focusing on other things. At the moment, I'm
very lonely in the endless space.
I'm very, so very lonely. Right. At the moment, I'm aiming for a scientific victory game, and I'm quite bored. There's a constant war front going on with two other of AI empires who keep like asking me for peace, then declaring war on me the next turn because they don't like the fact that I have big ships because they keep declaring war on me.
That reminds me of something else I've been playing recently with Civilization 5.
I only have Civ 4. I want to play Civ 5. I might. It's on sale now because of the Gods and Kings expansion, isn't it?
Yeah, Gods of Kings just got released, and that seems quite enjoyable as well.
I think I might it this week. We'll have to play a game.
Yeah, it's definitely worth getting, even if it's just for the single-player experience. Gods and Kings is pretty much, I guess, what you'd consider an essential expansion pack, just because it reintroduces a lot of older mechanics that were pretty much staples to the series, primary that being religion, but also espionage, which I try to steer away from. But religion's always good for indoctrinating the masses.
All right, I might have that next week. I'll get to talk about that next week. We have been rambling on for well over an hour now.
Ramble.
Have you got a preview of what is going to be in next week's podcast?
No, I don't.
So we just go by the news.
We're definitely going to be talking more about Lollipop Chainsaw because someone will have played it.
Yeah.
I'll be addicted to Pokemon Conquest by that time.
I'll probably be still be playing Endless Space.
And I'll probably have checked out Anno 2070 by then.
All the 4X games.
But I don't know if I'll be in next week.
Judging by the state of my current term guest list, we never know. I think we're going to end it there then.
What about competition time?
Yeah, before we end, let's talk about this competition we've got. To celebrate the inaugural podcast, or the inaugural episode.
Podcast 1.
Go on, do you want to do the voice?
Oh, I don't want to do the voice. To celebrate podcast 1 on Segment Next's gaming news website, we're giving away 5 copies of the Humble Indie Bundle 5. All right, that's about it from me before I get embarrassed.
Yeah, we're giving away... I've gone out and bought 5 full Humble Bundles from the humblebundle.com.
These are the full Humble Bundles with the extra 4 games that you could unlock.
Yeah, we're giving away 5 packages. That's 8 games per person along with 5 OSTs. We're giving away completely free of charge. There's a Twitter competition involved.
Those 8 games include Super Meat Boy, Braid, Lone Survivor, Bastion.
That's a total of 40 games.
Amnesia, The Dark Descent, Limbo, and Super Brother, Sword and Sorcery.
It's a lot of great indie games as well. I don't want to give the packages away. I personally want an extra 5 copies of Bastion.
And if you're hearing this now, you have no chance of getting it apart from this competition or, you know, groveling on Reddit for it.
No, we'll give they'll be given away next week. We'll be announcing who's won them in the podcast next week.
Ooh, we'll be announcing them next week. But, I mean, if you're hearing this by now, you cannot buy it from Humble Indie Bundle. The timer would have ended, so one of the only ways to get it would be through this competition. So it's definitely worth it if you haven't picked it up and you've only just heard about it.
And what do you know? That means you have an excuse to listen to next week's episode.
Yeah, if you want to apply and you want to try and get one and you haven't bought one yet, then you should really, really try out this competition.
Yeah, like I say, 5 full packages. We're going to be doing a Twitter competition. If you follow the Segment Next Twitter account or the XP Grind Twitter account, you'll find something that you'll need to retweet. We'll be periodically talking about it during the week on Twitter as well.
I imagine all the details will be on segmentnext.com.
Yeah, the website's being revamped at the moment to make room for the podcast and other things. So I don't actually know how things are going down yet, because this was recorded just before everything's actually been sorted out. We're recording this on Wednesday, and the episode's gone up on Friday, of course. Like I say, if you check the Twitter account, XP Grind, that's an X with a P, and then Grind. You look for the XP Grind podcast. You can check Segment Next Twitter account. You can check my Twitter account, but you're never going to figure out how to spell it from the pronunciation. It'll just be a simple retweet and follow competition. We'll take 5 of the people who've retweeted and followed the accounts, and then we'll announce your names on the podcast next week.
Yeah, let's hope you win.
It's a great chance to get Bastion. I really don't care about the other games. I'm just happy to be giving away Bastion.
Bastion's yeah, definitely
play Amnesia,
worth playing.
You're required
I haven't
by
played
contract.
Bastion yet. It's the get reason off my why podcast. I'm buying. It's the reason why I'm buying the Humble Indie Bundle 5, probably this evening or maybe tomorrow.
I go do that now, just in case.
But yeah, it's also worth it for Amnesia: The Dark Descent. It's an amazing game. If you love horror games, I've played it and completed it, and I've never been the same since.
And you're contractually obligated to post a video response of your reaction to Amnesia.
Oh, God. I can play it again if you like. Post a walkthrough on Segment Next.
That'd be great. We need walkthroughs. Right, well, I think that's everything from us. We're going to sign off. I assume we're going to sign off. Bye, people.
Later. Bye.
You've been listening to Segment Next's podcast. Tune in next week.
Gritty voice announces things.
What's the name of the podcast again?
XP Grind.
You've been listening to Segment Next's XP Grind podcast. Tune in next week.
For stuff.
And things.
And competition announcements.
And some winners that won some shit.
Right. All right. Right. Actually, bye for real this time, guys.